And good day. Welcome to In Perspective. My name is Bob Branco. With me is my friend Al Hensel.
Hello,
how are
Bob.
You, Al?
Bob, I'm doing just great on this wonderful, humid day. It's real swampy out there. I know people will be listening it at different times, but boy, I'll tell you, we're in the soup here in Milford, Massachusetts. So,
well, you know, summer is fast approaching, so this is expected here.
I actually love it.
Al, I wanted to start out by going back a year or so to a question that everybody had on their minds. Why was it that Donald Trump not only won the Republican nomination, but he also won the presidency? And I think I have the answer. I think it's because people were simply tired of establishment politics. They just were tired of it. They were fed up because it seemed like there was a status quo in Washington. Yeah, the legislators did all the right things and said all the right things, and maybe some of them did a good job and helped the constituents. But with all the voter apathy we've developed in the United States, which is another point to prove my argument, I believe I know why Donald Trump got it. He was different. But with that said, you have radicals out there who take it a step further. They are also tired of the establishment. So what they do in some cases is they take illegal action. Case in point, the shooting in Alexandria, Virginia, about a week ago. Mr. Hodgkinson, I believe is his name. He went out and shot up an athletic field or whatever it was, and he injured seriously a congressperson. Now, I guess what we want to find out first is, was this anti-democratic? Was it anti-Republican? Was it anti-establishment? What was your take on this, Alan?
Well, I think, Bob, it was, in this particular case, it was against both the Republicans and probably a good part of the Democrats, because as we found out, when they were dissecting the whole shooting, they realized, though they came across numerous indications from Hodgkinson's Facebook account and various other places that he had gone. Terminate Republicans was a Facebook website that he had gone on. There was ample indication that he hated Donald Trump. He had actually come out and stated that multiple times, and I believe he hated the overall establishment, because he was a Bernie Sanders fan, and he was ardent and vehement. And I totally fully agree with what you said earlier about the fact that the main reason Donald Trump probably got elected was because of the intense dissatisfaction on both sides of the aisle by people, everyday people like you and I, struggling to make ends meet. For the most part, you know, we just try to do our job, we pay our taxes, and we don't want anybody to bother us, and we keep out of everybody's way.
Well, you know, Alan, I don't know Mr. Hodgkinson personally, of course, and neither do you, but I think I can try to peek inside of his mind for just a few minutes.
Sure.
I can picture a man very frustrated with this country right now. You and I are also frustrated with this country from time to time. But see, you and I don't have any issues that are going to lead us to step outside the box. We're going to react like normal human beings. As we know, there are human beings that react differently than we want them to. But basically, I picture a man who's very, very frustrated and doesn't know what to do about it. He tries to vote, I assume. And then all of a sudden, the people that he votes for disappoint him, as sometimes they disappoint us. But of course, he probably has other issues, and that's what drove him to do what he did. I do want to mention also, while I'm thinking about it, the fact that he had an assault weapon. And I want to try to cut to the chase here. Why is it that people like Mr. Hodgkinson, as well as the guy who shot up a school at Sandy Hook, why is it that they have so much access to assault weapons when assault weapons are only supposed to be given to the military, from what I understand?
That's correct, yeah. And one of the things I think, Bob, that really does need to be done, I'm certainly not against people having their guns taken away. I'm not against people, responsible human beings who go through proper weapons training to be able to own a weapon that they, for either hunting, sporting purposes only, or if they don't hunt, to keep a small caliber weapon, perhaps, say, you know, by their bedside table, safely locked up, of course, or anywhere else in their house to protect possible home invasion and any other nefarious things that could happen to them that might require them to defend themselves. One thing I think, though, because it's become so politicized from both sides, Bob, you have the Democrats on one side saying, we need gun control, we need gun control, and you've got the extreme right folks coming out and saying, you can't violate our Second Amendment. And what people don't realize is if we put some better controls that don't attack every responsible, law-abiding American, or where they don't feel they're under attack anyway, I think if we come up with the kind of legislation perhaps that says, let's talk about your assault weapons dilemma, that says nobody should own anything above X caliber that shoots so many times per minute unless they have a professional need to own that weapon. There's no reason why you and I, if we were in possession of our full sight and able to obtain a gun, there's no reason why we should be able to get our hands on an AR-15, which is the gun that James Hodgkinson used in spraying that ball field and injuring five people.
Well, so, you know, Al, you just reminded me of an answer to my own question, and I'm glad you pointed this out, okay? And I'm going to equate guns with fireworks. I'm not equating guns to fireworks for reasons that some people might think I am. I'm equating them as far as distribution, okay? Only certain people are allowed to use fireworks.
Right.
Only certain types of territories are allowed to have fireworks legally. Yet you see all the time fireworks being smuggled in from New Hampshire, smuggled in from other states, into territories that don't accept them legally. And anybody can get their hands on them. So I suppose the same can be said for assault weapons and other types of weapons, okay? Maybe they're obtained illegally, and that's why they're being used by lay people who are almost over the edge. You know, could that be the case?
Let's circle back a little bit on Hodgkinson as well. Many people are trying to figure out, and nobody will ever have a certain answer to this question. We can only speculate. Hodgkinson is thankfully in a different area code off this planet now, as far as his soul is concerned. But I think most of us, based on what he's left behind in the Facebook accounts that we talked about and in various other rhetoric that clearly showed that the guy hates Donald Trump, he was an ardent Sanders supporter, he was bitter about the fact that Sanders didn't make it through the Democratic primaries last year. The guy was unhinged, clearly, Bob. He's got a past dating back to at least 2005 where he assaulted his daughter. He assaulted a neighbor who his daughter ran to get away from him. Details, I mean, if people want to know, they can go online and query it. But and then,
why wasn't he in jail?
Yeah. And then last March, he was actually able with, you know, as a ticking time bomb, because that's what I call him. He's able to actually obtain the two weapons, so they say, that he used on that baseball field in Alexandria. So there's a case, Bob, too, and we haven't even touched yet the whole subject of probably why this guy did what he did, where he did. The divisive rhetoric that's going back and forth between the left and the right, and it starts with our legislative elected officials, and it goes all the way down through the media. I have never, Bob, you and I are in our late 50s. I have never, ever seen the media and the political establishment this polarized, ever. Even in the 60s, at least people weren't calling their president a piece of S blank 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 right out in what used to be called respectable media circles. I mean, and then making fun of his 11-year-old son who can't even defend himself. And, you know, just, and it goes on and on. And then, of course, Donald Trump obviously brings a lot on himself with his bombastic retorts. Twitter is a new thing. Social media plays a huge part in all of this, Bob. And I think as far as gun control, people who allow guns to be purchased need to be very, very careful. I think the legislature needs to tighten up the gun laws so that they're not unfair to one side or the other, but to make it a little harder to get those kinds of weapons that we really don't need to be walking around out on the street in Main Street America with. I think that's part of the problem. And better screening for people who come in to purchase a gun.
Have you ever heard of Mike Gallagher?
Yes.
One of the most right-wing talk show hosts in the country. He had a very interesting quote, because I used to listen to him quite a lot when my local radio station syndicated his program.
Yep.
He used to say, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And I guess that is his argument against gun control, just by making that statement. What are your thoughts on that?
Mixed. I have a friend who is a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. I'm not. Just to remind everybody, if I haven't mentioned it in a previous podcast, I am a progressive-minded moderate conservative. And I don't mean I'm not a progressive in the label that the left likes to use. I'm all for let's try something if it makes sense. And let's see if it will work, especially if it means moving our country and society forward. I'm all for that. But on the same token, Bob, I'm a little to the right in terms of wanting to be responsible and to be careful when we think about what we're doing and to be try to be fair to everybody. But I think fairness and honesty, above all else, should be the driving force behind any decision that anybody should make. Now, to your point, regarding Mike Gallagher's position, we have to be careful because in a real world, Bob, if we're going to relax our gun laws and allow every single person who's able to own a gun the ability to just say, okay, go ahead, come on in, buy a gun, you can own a gun and you can carry it around wherever you want to. We need to be – I don't think we should ever get to that point because the problem is there are too many non-professionals walking around with guns who might be apt to impulsively pull them out and use them and then hurt somebody who might be considered an innocent bystander.
Especially somebody like Hodgkinson who's over the edge.
Yes.
There are a lot of folks out there like that.
Yes.
You know, and that leads to another subject, which we don't have to touch on right now, but why are there so many people with – these mental issues carrying guns? I mean, I used to hear stories about how these types of individuals should be institutionalized, but because of this act, I forget the name of the act, which allows these people to have outpatient therapy, you've got more and more shootings now all over the planet recently.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is tied into it. Maybe Hodgkinson, in the old days, guys like Hodgkinson might not be free to walk the streets. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a tremendously good point, Bob. And you're right that we should probably delve in and do some research and maybe discuss that in a later episode. But yeah, you're right. I think it's a combination of a whole lot of different things. There are one thing that is certain though, good or bad, there are many, many millions more guns on the streets today. And I'm not saying literally. I mean that the people own today than probably 2 to 3 times more guns and ammunition out there today than there was, say, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. So
why do you suppose that is?
I don't know. I just think that probably that most likely people have the more means to purchase them. There may be more of a conscious voice out there of people on the left saying, let's disband guns, which then causes the average Joe maybe more to think about that and say, you know what, I don't want my Second Amendment right violated, so therefore I'm going to go out and purchase a gun just because somebody's telling me that I can't, you know, or that I shouldn't. And so you may have just higher heightened conscious awareness of the notion of weapons and self-protection. It could be that the prices are lower. Certainly there appear to be a lot more gangs roaming urban areas of this country, Bob, I think, than ever before. So guns can be had with a song as far as the ability to purchase one. I mean, people like the Sandy Hook thing, remember? People break into that kid who shot up that school.
Oh, yeah.
Broke into his mother's gun cabinet, smashed the lock, broke whatever, and grabbed the gun, killed her, and then headed off to the school and did that.
And it was an assault weapon. Now you've got a mother with an assault weapon. What does a mother need an assault weapon for? And I'm not making that statement out of sexism.
Right.
I mean, when you think of mothers, do you think of assault weapons?
No, I don't. I mean, so that whole situation is absolutely crazy. I know that she was some sort of a law enforcement professional at one point. She may have worked for the federal government. Don't quote me on that. But I think that there was, was it mental illness that was passed down genetically? And, you know, maybe the mother wasn't quite as anywhere near as crazy as him, but maybe there was a need to have protection. But, I mean, she had multiple guns. Remember, Bob? She had at least 8, 9, 10 different weapons in there.
I do. And I want to get to the question of security, too, while we're talking about Alexandria and other incidents. Okay. What do you think this means in terms of increased security? Obviously, you know, you and I could have been on that athletic field, Alan, watching a practice session going on between two factions of politics, having a good time. You know, it was good stuff, by the way. Good camaraderie, I thought, on both sides.
Yes, I agree.
Until this happened.
Yeah.
So we could have been there. So how do you feel about security? What do you think should be done?
I think actually, thank goodness for those two Capitol Police officers who were accompanying Steve Scalise, Republican whip, because if those two people weren't there and didn't take action to bring this guy down eventually, Hodgkinson, it would have been worse. You know, he was heading toward the dugout where everybody was trying to protect themselves. Nobody had a gun. And so they were going to become sitting ducks if those two police officers didn't intervene. So maybe a couple of more kind of being watchful. Yeah, I think if the ultimate setup on something like that, and hopefully they'll do this, like umpires in a baseball game, you actually have to set, you know, law enforcement professionals up at key locations of any setting and to be watchful of anything that could happen. You know, just position them in various parts of the field and be ever watchful of anybody who might pop in there with a gun. I don't see a problem with that at all.
Sure, and of course this is a vicious cycle, because now the more security that you need because of people like Hodgkinson, the more privacy is going to be invaded. Look at the airports now. They frisk you almost naked just because of things like 9/11.
I know.
You know, it's a vicious cycle.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, it's but at any rate, Bob, I think what we should maybe do now is to talk about what we think might have been a large cause of this, and then how they could go about fixing it. My opinion here in this particular case, I believe this guy, and there's no question that he was a deranged, mentally ill person who was a ticking time bomb and might have created an act of violence of this caliber in any situation at all. But I think what may have caused him to go to that field to literally ask Jeff Duncan, who was heading off the ball field before this all began, he had just come off practice. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, was walking out to the parking lot to his car. Jeff Duncan, a Republican House or Senate legislator, I'm not sure which. And this gentleman with white hair and a beard walked up to him. Obviously no gentleman. It ended up to be James Hodgkinson, and he said, "Are those people playing Republicans or Democrats?" And Duncan just casually answered, "We're Republicans." And he said, "Okay, thanks." And the gunman turned around and walked away. And that's when he went, got his gun out of his car, a couple of guns, I guess a pistol and a rifle, and walked back out onto the field. And then history begins. So my point is, he was absolutely that day targeting Republicans. Why? And I think a lot of it, you mentioned early on in this episode, you know, that the country, and it starts, in my opinion, with the legislature and media, Bob, have been so polarizing in their opinions. You know, half of us are now against the Democrats and half of us are against the Republicans. And does it have to be this way? Were these kinds of things driving this guy, Hodgkinson, and maybe others out there on either side? Are they whipping these people who are right on the edge anyway now over the edge to do these kinds of nefarious acts?
And I would say yes. Yeah. I would say yes to a point. Of course, we're not there. We're not right in their minds.
Sure.
But obviously, there's a lot of speculation which supports what you said, and that people are tired, like I said at the outset, tired of the establishment, tired of the lackadaisic attitude that is being portrayed by legislation. And yes, it might drive some people over the edge with borderline issues like Hodgkinson and others. So yes, I contend with what you're saying. Yeah. I really do. I agree with you.
So what do we? So what do we propose that the country do about it? Not that anybody's in high places is going to hear us, Bob. What do we do about
that
this?
That is a very, very loaded question, and the reason why it is because sure, we can talk about beefing up security everywhere we go, which means that more and more of our privacy will be invaded. But maybe that's a good thing if we're going to try to protect ourselves from people like this. But I don't know, Alan. It's a broad and loaded question, and it's complicated. And I'm not sure how much time we have to figure this out.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll give you, because I know we're down to the last few minutes of the show, Bob. So I'll quickly give you a possible good start. And I think right now, hopefully it began as soon as this horribly tragic act occurred last Wednesday. What it needs to start from the top, one of Harry Truman's favorite sayings that I always agreed with and I took to immediately, and I try to use this in my own everyday living, the buck stops here. It begins with President Trump, and it trickles down into the legislators, and then down, in this case, directly to the media, who, by the way, should remind themselves when they're poking fun or ranting about this or that, that many people like you and I turn on our various devices or open up our newspapers, and we depend on what they tell us, and we formulate our opinions, right or wrong, based on what the media tells us. And in this case, the media is getting it from legislature, Bob. My proposed solution on this, that legislature needs to start saying, look, we've got to be really, really careful about our rhetoric. We've got to, you know, if we disagree with something that the other side is saying, let's not be so vociferous about it. Let's discuss it rather than, you know, scream, you know, all kinds of derisive remarks at the other side. Let's do
that's
it in a responsible
start.
Way. You know?
That's a good start, but, you know, that's only about 50 or 60% of it. But that's a good start.
And
you know,
hopefully
after
the
that,
media takes from that. You know what I'm saying,
after
Bob?
That, also, you have to hope that these people with these deranged minds are not going to do these things despite what the media changes.
And it's up to law enforcement and the people who make laws to learn from what they see and try to tighten up laws and to try to get to recognize the Hodgkinsons of the world and the fact that, gee, this person has a, you know, nasty social media thing going on. So maybe Google or, you know, I don't mean to pick on Google or Facebook or any of the other people who see these websites that he was on, terminate Republicans. Maybe they need, those people need to shut those venues down. And then maybe maybe the local law enforcement for some of these people could intervene gently and see if they can help.
Exactly. One will never know, but it's been a great discussion, Al, as always. We have good discussions about these things on In Perspective. I want to take a moment to give out my email address. If anybody wants to write to In Perspective with comments, we will read some on the air if you allow us to. My email address is Branco, B-R-A-N-C-O, 182, at Verizon.net. Again, Branco, B-R-A-N-C-O, 182. At Verizon.net. I want to take the last 2 or 3 minutes, Al, by sharing my great experiences at my 40th class reunion from the class of 77 at Perkins School for the Blind. We went out of town, my fiance and I, June 9th, 10th, and 11th. We stayed at a classmate's house. We had a wonderful time. We went out to the Watertown Diner, which used to be the Beacon Luncheonette right across the street from Perkins School. We took a tour of Perkins School, and we saw all the changes that has taken place on the campus. For supper, we went to Stellini's of Watertown Square. That was Friday, the 9th. On the 10th, we went bowling in Dedham, and then we had a cookout at our hostess's house where the class got together and had a great old time. And then Sunday, we all departed and went our separate ways. But it was worth all the planning. We planned it for the better half of a year. And it was great.
That's awesome, Bob. Yeah, and 40 years. Congratulations, my friend. I'm sure a lot's changed since you graduated, walked out of Perkins School as well when you went back. Although I know you've been back into that area a number of times. But I haven't myself been on Perkins campus since 1978.
So, you will be shocked at the changes. We may even discuss them on a future show.
That sounds good.
Al, thank you very
much.
Thank you, Bob. Another great edition of In Perspective. And for those of you who are tuning in to see Joy, thank you, Daryl Breffy, for allowing your station to include our show.
And, folks, we'll see you next time.
Take care. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.